You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome into the Gym Class here in KGYM as we come your way on this Tuesday, October the 5th. Great to have you aboard here as we take it through the 3 o'clock hour. Scott Unash back with you. Mark Dukes joining me in just a couple of moments from his home on the southwest side. Ben back on the other side of the glass. Good to see him back. And full force back with you here today. We are presented by DePaco Community Credit Union here on the Gym Class each and every day. Big thanks to DePaco Community Credit Union. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to their website, DePaco.com. Find out more there. You can find out more as well by going to our website at kgymradio.com as well. Good show coming up for you. Tom Cakert, HawkeyeReport.com, is going to join us. I understand there's a big game coming up on Saturday. No, I kid. I know there's a big game coming up on Saturday. Iowa and Penn State, top five battle at Kinnick Stadium. We'll have Before the Boom coming up at 1 o'clock. On Saturday on 107.5 and 106.3 FM, just ahead of the kickoff, which comes your way at 3 o'clock from Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City, with, I think, a good portion of the nation's eyes right here in our neck of the woods. So we'll talk about that with Tom. Also, we'll kick around and preview the American League wildcard game, which comes up tonight. We'll have it for you, all of our frequencies, at 6:30 tonight with a 7:08 first pitch. The Boston Red Sox and the New York Yankees once again exchanging pleasantries. Should be a very entertaining game. I can guarantee you it will be a very long game tonight. That is something that we know. In the National League game, Cardinals and the Dodgers coming up from Dodger Stadium tomorrow night. That also on all four of our frequencies beginning at 6:30 in the evening. Big thanks to Spencer for sitting in yesterday. Did a fantastic job. And thanks to Mark as well, as you guys steered the ship through very calm waters yesterday. Good afternoon. How you doing?
Good afternoon. Doing well. Hope you're doing well after your respite, short as it was. But yeah, Spencer did a terrific job yesterday, and it was really enjoyable working with him. But certainly glad to have you back in the saddle, Chief.
Well, thank you. Few days in the great state of Ohio, doing some visiting with our youngest son, and being a Hawkeye in Ohio, or a Hawkeye State guy, you know, in Ohio, is, you know, they treated us well, though. They treated us well. Could have been a lot worse. My wife got more looks on Sunday by wearing a Kansas City Chiefs piece of garment. Then we did, knowing people saying, hey, you're from Iowa. Oh, okay, very good. At any rate, good to be back, and good to talk about Big Ten football. Big 12 football taking a little bit of a hiatus this week with Iowa State off and enjoying their bye week this week. They'll be at it coming up next week. 319-366-1600. That is a text line available to you. Again, that is 319-366-1600. Also on the program, I know you guys talked about this yesterday, but thanks James and everybody at the Double Z Bar and Grill, a brand new sponsor. We have What's On For Tonight brought to you by the Double Z Bar and Grill. And you can pretty much take a pretty wild guess of what we will preview coming up tonight with that portion of the program before 4 o'clock here today. But Mark, it's Kirk Ferentz Media Day in Iowa City today, as the head Hawk talked about Iowa and Penn State, his thoughts. And also Marshall Yanda took to the podium today, as he is this year's A&F man.
Yeah, and Kirk and Marshall Yanda, both with a relationship with the Baltimore Ravens, getting together and reminiscing at that news conference. And Yanda, now retired, helping on the family farm, maybe someday awaiting a call to the NFL Hall of Fame. I don't know, but terrific story in Iowa football history. Other items that Kirk addressed, he was asked about Penn State wide receiver Jahan Dotson, what he brings to the table, and Kirk said, quote unquote, everything. And we'll talk more about Dotson later on today and into the week. And Kirk said he was pleased with the growth, both offensive and defensive lines, and was asked about the health of the team. And he said, everybody should be a go this week.
That's good news right there. And you'd love to have both teams really at full strength for such a big game. And, you know, after what Iowa did to Maryland on Friday night, I think, and I, like I said, I listened a little bit to the podcast, you and Spencer from yesterday. And I just want to know what, I think people's minds are fully and everything is behind this Iowa football team, especially Spencer Petras now after such a very good outing on Friday evening. And real, and boy, it's still early in the season. You just do not want to put the onus on a team and individuals and a coaching staff. But this is probably Iowa's best opportunity to win the Big Ten West in, well, since 2015. Can I safely say that, Mark?
Very much so. It's there for the taking for the Iowa Hawkeyes. One more step would be Penn State here. And you look through the rest of the schedule, and not many teams really jump out and scare you. That's not going to be an easy game at Wisconsin. No matter what the Badgers are going through right now, Nebraska seems to be playing better. There's a game at home against Purdue. Iowa's really been up and down with Purdue, and you got Minnesota. But no team that, or individual that really jumps out and scares you, especially with this Iowa defense.
By the way, Purdue is now a sellout, that particular yes. game. That is homecoming. It is a sellout. That will be a 2:30 kickoff on ABC. You mentioned the schedule. I'm just going to say this right now. As much ribbing as they get, and as much ribbing that goes across the Missouri River, tell you what, who's playing pretty good football right now and who's starting to scare me a little bit for that last game of the year in Lincoln, and that is the Nebraska Cornhuskers. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, we'll see what happens between now and then. Certainly whipped Northwestern over the weekend, and Northwestern's kind of a head-scratcher because I know you never sleep on Pat Fitzgerald, and nor do I. But that's not really a very good football team right now. So I don't know if that told you more about Nebraska or Northwestern.
Yeah, I was dead wrong. I'll admit it. I thought Northwestern was going to be pretty decent this year, and I've completely whiffed on that. Didn't whiff on the picks, though. I know you guys talked about that yesterday. 2 weeks in a row, 4-2. I had to get that in.
And you won those picks and nearly nailed the tiebreaker. You had it come into play within 12 yards, total yards in that game, Iowa and Maryland. But Garland from Cedar Rapids going to enjoy a $25 gift card to Eames Hideaway. And we'll do it again on Friday.
Yes, Garland, who, by the way, we met last week, is on a member of the Evergreen League, by the way.
I'll be darned.
Yes. Did not know that, did you?
So. I did not. I have to keep an eye on him.
319-366-1600. Is the text line available to you. That is the phone line as well. By the way, before we leave the Marshall Yanda angle, Marshall saying that, yeah, he's a fifth-generation dairy farmer from the Anamosa area, obviously. And, you know, what he's doing right now, well, helping out on the farm and taking the kids to sports. You know, I did coach youth sports for quite a while. I'm not the greatest coach in the world, but I am a good enough coach. If I see an opportunity to take some kid named Yanda, if I'm living in Anamosa on my team, I think I'm taking the Yanda kid.
And I might recruit Dad, too, to help me out.
Might. It does not matter what sport. Come on and help, Marshall. Love to have you help out. But he looks good. He looks good. Not nearly as big as he was when he was playing tackle in the National Football League, but still looking very good out there. 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. That is a text line. See what I started here? 9663 is Nebraska is going to get killed by Michigan. Yes, let's see how Nebraska does against Michigan, says Darren. I'm just saying Nebraska's playing pretty good football right now. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. And it's I'm not worried about Iowa, Nebraska yet. Iowa, Penn State is the next game for the Hawkeyes. Not worried. I'm just throwing it out there. Nebraska's kind of starting to scare me a little bit.
Certainly going to be an excellent indicator this coming Saturday in Lincoln as Michigan visits. Michigan about a three and a half point favorite in that game. That's kind of an interesting line. That's one game we will pick on Friday. And it would be a much better indicator than what that Northwestern game was.
Sure. Tom Cakert's going to join us. We'll talk more with Tom coming up in just a little bit. Kirk Ferentz today, you talked about the fact, loves Jahan Dotson. Quote, he's a really good athlete, which is great. There's a lot of really good athletes out there, but he's a football player. That's the way he does everything. I'm not an expert in the passing game or receiver play, but you just watch him play. There's no wasted movement. It's down the line, and I would agree. The thing about this Penn State team, and we'll talk more about it as we get through the week, we're going to have a beat writer for the who covers Penn State coming up on Thursday with us. Name escapes me right now, but at any rate, we'll talk about the Penn State Nittany Lions, and the speed they have at the skill positions is something that has really picked up over the last handful of years under James Franklin. And I think that's the one X factor going into that game on Saturday that I think if you're an Iowa fan may have you the most worried.
Well, I think Iowa's aim will be to make Maryland one-dimensional. It does have a very, very good passing attack. The rushing game, not so much. And when Iowa can sit back and play its different packages in the defensive backfield, they're very effective. We've seen that. Six interceptions last week against the guy, Tagliavoa. I butcher that name all the time. I'm sorry. But you know who I'm talking about. He came in with very lofty statistics and left. He didn't even finish the game. Not saying that's going to happen with Sean Clifford, who is an excellent quarterback, got some mobility. I got a receiver in Dotson and others that can hurt you. So, again, I think if Iowa can make Penn State ineffective in the running game and one-dimensional, that will be very good.
319-366-1600. We got to mention this, Mark. This is breaking news. The PGA Tour on Twitter, the PGA Tour. This is not a burner account or anything like that. The PGA Tour has just announced that the Match 5 coming up Friday, November the 26th, Black Friday, in Las Vegas at the Wynn, 12 holes, Brooks Koepka versus Bryson DeChambeau.
Well, I'll check another one off my scoreboard there, but yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
All right. Golf.com reported this earlier and was awaiting official announcement from the PGA Tour, but this is going to be a mano-a-mano match. Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau, they're going to be mic'd up, 12-hole match to settle it all. And and who's going to wear the belt? I don't know.
If Black Friday wasn't exciting enough with Iowa and Iowa State playing, now we have Bryson versus Brooks. Winner take all, blah, blah, blah. Last man standing, blah, blah, blah. Black Friday, that's going to be a great, great day. 319-366-1600 at 18 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. And, yeah, we'll have all kinds of Iowa-Penn State talk throughout the week. Really looking forward to the game. Obviously, I know you guys touched upon this yesterday a little bit. Biggest game at Kinnick Stadium since Iowa-Michigan in 1985, which coincidentally the Big Ten reran the Iowa-Michigan program that they had a little behind the scenes last night. Did catch the end of that. always entertaining, and it's always fun to go back and relive that game with Iowa, Michigan, number one versus number two in October of 1985. But first one since what, 60, 59, right in there, Mark, for two top five teams in the Big Ten, not named Ohio State and Michigan in a top five battle in the Big Ten Conference.
Yeah, that was the Iowa-Minnesota matchup in 1960 that the Gophers won. And I mentioned it yesterday that people tend to live in the present. This is the biggest game in Iowa history, blah, blah, blah. Suffice to say, it's one of them, that's for sure. Iowa-Penn State 3-4 on Saturday. And, yeah, I've seen that Iowa-Michigan game in 85 multiple times. And every time I still get knocked down as I was under the north end zone goalpost to watch Rob Hotland's kick go through. I got knocked down by the student section every time I watch it. But
it wasn't me. It was not me, by the way.
That's the benchmark for me. That game won by Iowa 12-10. And we don't remember that 60 game. I was alive. I was four. I was out playing in the sandbox probably at that time. Those games weren't on TV, certainly on radio. But for a program that's been around over 100 years, there's been many, many big games over the years that none of us really know about and tend to forget about.
I did not knock you over. The first thing I did, though, was hug one of the Iowa Poms.
Oh!
Yeah.
Was that welcome?
I would never have the opportunity to do it again. There was mayhem, Mark. It was mayhem, but it was controlled. It was controlled mayhem, though, for the most part.
And no, it wasn't.
Oh, it could have been a whole lot worse. It could have been a whole lot worse. If that was today, oh my goodness. But it wasn't. It was not too bad back then, what I recall. Of course, you were in a work environment. You were doing your job, so you may have had a different perspective than I did.
I should have expected the fans, and particularly the students, pouring out of the north end zone after that kick went through. I was down there to position myself to see that ball go through the uprights and then take in what followed afterwards. No, it wasn't a horrific scene by any means, but there was just a sea of people on the field and celebrating and backslapping the players and carrying them off the field and on and on and on. And it just it could have turned out not so great had Larry Station not stopped Jamie Morris on a big third down run to give the Iowa the ball back. And Chuck Long drove him down the field into position, and the rest was history.
Yes, and still, if we had instant replay in 1985, there would not have been nearly as much drama to the end of that game because Alverson's foot was in.
True.
Was in, and it wasn't even close. Not even close. At any rate, 319-366-1600.
It was like first half, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yes, yeah. It was. Two men, Cyclone Tim, Bryson Brooks, Thunderdome, two men enter, one man leaves. would Mr. Brooks or Mr. Zabel have called the 60 gain? Absolutely. 71-48. They were absolutely. Both of them on the call. Plus many others back then when anybody could do Iowa games. Remember
Perhaps
those
Frosty
things.
Mitchell, Gene Clausen.
Yep. Yeah. They were all doing it back then. We're going to get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard for you coming up in just a little bit. Tom Cakert's going to join us in about 10 minutes or so. But Major League Baseball getting underway tonight, Mark. And, of course, the American League wild card game coming up tonight. And speaking of the American League wild card game, that is what we are looking forward to tonight. What's on tap for tonight? Brought to you by the Double Z Bar and Grill. Thanks to James Larson, everybody over there. Do appreciate them coming on board and helping us out as a sponsor here on the Gym Class each and every day. But that is what everyone is looking at tonight, not only because it is the playoffs, not only because it's the one-game winner-take-all wild card, but then you throw in the intrigue that is Red Sox-Yankees, and you have that tonight.
Most certainly. Double Z, by the way, located at 629 Ellis Boulevard, Northwest. It calls itself the home for NFL and college football, but I'm sure any and all of the 17 big screens will be on the New York-Boston game tonight. And don't forget about world-famous Big As Your Head tenderloin.
Going to have one of those again.
I agree. And our poll question today is quite obviously about this wild card game tonight. Which team wins at the AL wild card game, New York or Boston? That poll question brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City. Thanks, as always, to Steve Anderson and his team there.
Very true. The pitching matchup, Nathan Eovaldi for Boston going up against Gerrit Cole. You would think the Yankees with an advantage right there. Cole 16-8 this year for the New York Yankees. And I believe Eovaldi was 11-9 for the Boston Red Sox. You can't really get a very good feel on this game because it is Red Sox-Yankees. And there's just so much tradition, so much honor with these two teams. Not to oversell it and overhype it, but I guess I am overselling it and overhyping it a little bit. Winner gets Tampa Bay, by the way. So just like the National League West possibly could have the 200 win teams going up against one another in a divisional series, could be the Rays. It will be the Rays and Yankees or Rays and Red Sox. To win the championship, you must beat all the good teams. I guess that's what we are always told as far as the Iowa High School Athletic Association when these games come up prior to the championship. And certainly in baseball this year, going to have some very, very good series before we get to the World Series. And that could include the Dodgers and the Giants. But the Dodgers got to beat the Cardinals tomorrow night first.
Yeah, and in terms of this matchup tonight, the Red Sox are at home because they won 10 out of 19 games, were 10-9 against the Yankees. But folks, remember, the Red Sox won the first seven matchups this season against the Yankees, and New York took 10 of the last 12 the second part of the season. So if that's an indicator, with Gerrit Cole on the mound, I kind of like New York, Scott.
I kind of like New York, too. I have to give them a little bit of an advantage going in on the mound. But as we mentioned, I can tell you this. I can assure you that this game will be at least 4 hours. Agree?
They always are. And I think Joe West, is he behind the plate in this one?
Now, I think he's doing the National League.
National League, okay.
I think he's doing.
But Angel Hernandez is on this crew.
Oh, that's wonderful. But you know what? As long as he's not behind the plates, stick him down the right field line or something. No, left field line, because that's easier at Fenway Park. A pesky pole, you don't want him worried about that. And put him down the left field line. He can watch batted balls go off the monster.
We'll see where he lines up tonight, but love postseason baseball. The reward is not particularly appetizing, a Tampa Bay team that won 100 games, but same is true in the National League. We've talked about the wild card one-game deal before. We don't want to beat it to death, but that's what we have.
Yeah, until they change it to at least best two out of three, that is what we have, and I'd like to see baseball do that, but there will not be, if it goes extra innings, it is old-time baseball. It is not the new international rule of starting a player at second base. This is just like every other inning, and that will not be back as well next year in 2022. Hallelujah. Speaking of baseball, Mark, we are very happy to announce tomorrow our friend Cal Eldred will join us, the pitching coach for the Kansas City Royals. And he is going to join us tomorrow and throughout the Major League Baseball playoffs in October.
Yeah, I just heard from Cal about 40 minutes ago, and he's very eager to come on. And he's back home in Mount Vernon. And I always love that. We miss our talks on a weekly basis with Cal Eldred, but he has a much more important job with the Kansas City Royals. And lots to talk to him, not only about the Royals, but the playoffs. And we'll do so tomorrow.
We will indeed. And also Chris Liss of rotowire.com will come up tomorrow. We need to get you to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway and First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Lindale Mall and behind Taco John's and next to Home Depot. I'm sorry I took away Bryson and Brooks from you, but you can say it again if you like, because I think people are watering, mouths are watering for it.
No, that was just a rumor at the time I wrote it down, but it is official from the PGA Tour. Also official in Chicago, former Iowa State running back David Montgomery has been lost to the Bears for 4 to 5 weeks with a knee injury suffered against the Lions. Next man in is Damian Williams, a guy you're very familiar with, Scott. And I like that guy.
Good running back.
Yeah. Maryland got some bad news today as well, as wide receiver Dante Dimas has been ruled out for the season after suffering a leg injury against the Iowa Hawkeyes last Friday night. A terrific blow to Maryland as it faces, I believe, Ohio State this week. The preseason in the NBA is underway. Joe Wieskamp played for the Spurs last night, got in for 9 minutes and had a couple assists. Tomorrow night, Scott, Wieskamp Spurs will play Luka Garza's Detroit Pistons.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, that should be fun. That should be fun. And best of luck to both of those guys as they try to increase playing time / make teams, et cetera, et cetera. So best of luck as far as that is concerned. 319-366-1600. We're going to talk to Tom Caker to HawkeyeReport.com here in just a couple of moments. I want to let you know that the gym is partnered with Fairfax State Savings Bank to bring you KGYM's Community MVP. If your organization has a charity or a fundraising event coming up, we want to help you get the word out. Please submit your information at least 60 days prior to your event, and if selected, it'll be featured on the air and online. More details are available at kgymradio.com. We'll take a break, come back, and be joined by Tom Cakert. We'll preview Iowa and Penn State when we come back.
You want your lights on, and your garage door going up and down, and your refrigerator refrigerating. And so do the people at Linn County REC, because they live here and work here just like you do. They have kids in school here, shop on Sunday afternoons here, cheer on the sidelines here, and need their lights and garage doors and fridges to work just like you do. That, in a nutshell, is what an electric cooperative is. Members who share a community, choosing the best options for affordable, reliable, safe energy. When the member leaders of Linn County REC make decisions, they're keeping their own family and yours in mind. The choices they make directly affect them, the same way they affect you. So they consider each option carefully. And as with any electric cooperative, any profit made during the year is shared back with members like you. Those are just some of the benefits of membership at Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative. October is National Cooperative Month. Find out even more at linncountyrec.com.
When you create some of the world's best windows and doors, you won't let just anyone sell them. You want window and door experts. That's why WeatherShield windows are only sold at local trusted independent dealers, not at big box stores. WeatherShield never compromises on quality, offering unparalleled value, energy efficiency, and expert craftsmanship. Alexander Lumber is proud to be a WeatherShield dealer. Visit them at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life. So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
Don't miss the 8th annual Leon Evans Cruise-In, October 9th at the Fairfax City Sports and Park Complex. Come see muscle cars, hot rods, custom cars, and more while enjoying music, food, and lots of fun for the whole family. It's free and everyone is invited.
Details at kgymradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
Not many places can say this, but at Fairfax State Savings Bank, it's the 20s again. They welcomed their first customer way back in 1924. Things were a little different then, like cars and how much you could buy with a shiny new nickel. But since that first day, one thing hasn't changed. It's the way Fairfax State Savings Bank has proudly helped this community survive and thrive. They are The Bank Here. Stop in or visit thebankhere.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Back with you on the Gym Class here at KGYM at 3:34. Don't forget, coming up tonight, Red Sox-Yankees, the American League, with their wild card game. Winner take all. Winner gets the Tampa Bay Rays coming up. And we will have lots of baseball playoff action for you starting on Thursday. As far as the divisional series are concerned, Thursday afternoon at 3 o'clock, it will be the White Sox and the Astros. BJ and Marion and I, no bets as of yet, head-to-head, Mark, nothing like that. He an Astro fan, I a White Sox fan, and the replay of the 2005 World Series, hopefully that will come out the same way. Sorry, BJ, but we'll have that on 107.5 FM coming up on Thursday, beginning at 3 o'clock, and then 1600, 102.3, 106.3 FM will join up with the end of that game at 6 o'clock, and then at 7 o'clock, it will be the other game one. The winner of tonight's Boston-Tampa game, Boston-Yankee game taking on Tampa Bay, and that will be the game on Thursday night. So a lot of playoff baseball over the next three and a half weeks. And we'll talk about it with Cal Eldred coming up on the program tomorrow. Right now, Tom Kakert set to join us. And, of course, a little bit of a big game coming up on Saturday afternoon at Kinnick Stadium. Tom Kakert, of course, publisher of Hawkeye Report. And, yeah, Tom, biggest game in, I think I can safely say, 36 years in Iowa City coming up this Saturday.
Yeah, just in terms of the rankings, it's certainly the biggest game. I'll go back to like 04, get a share of the Big Ten title kind of game, but against Wisconsin. But just in terms of the rankings, 1985, 1-2, and now you got this one. So huge implications for the Hawkeyes if they can win this game and continue on their path, and see where this takes them.
Tom, your takeaways from either the players or Kirk Ferentz on today's media availability?
Yeah, everybody seems really relaxed and pretty confident and just not really distracted. You always wonder about that, right, with this huge game and all the implications, and if the moment gets too big, and just judging by Tuesday, it doesn't really seem like it's gotten too big. Most of the guys, but it's funny because I asked several of them, I go, what was it like in class and going to walk around campus? And they're like, yeah, most of us don't have class on Mondays. They always have their class on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I guess. So they're like, I'll tell you later because I don't know right now. But, I think there's a level of excitement that some of them said. They've gotten a lot of texts from family and friends. And but I think everybody was pretty relaxed. And Kirk, I'll tell you what, having covered basically the entire Kirk Ferentz tenure, he's as relaxed as I've seen him in a season maybe ever. He just feels really confident right now, just loose would kind of be the word I'd use to describe Kirk Ferentz.
Maybe he's taking a page. We talked about this earlier, Tom, taking a page from Hayden Fry's playbook, if you will. The bigger the game, it seemed the more calm that Coach Fry was. Maybe that's what Kirk is doing this week. Or like you said, maybe it's just that he feels that confident about this football team, or perhaps a combination.
Yeah, or, you know, he'll wait for, you know how I used to, back in the day, used to wait for the Northwestern, Hayden used to wait for the Northwestern week to go blast somebody from the Cedar Rapids Gazette, right? Right, Duker?
Afraid so, Thomas.
Yeah, that was his tradition.
Nobody got blasted this week or anything like that, certainly. After the win last Friday night, I think a lot less people on the back of Spencer Petras, it seems, going through the weekend and into the week.
Yeah, he is developing, and he's getting better. And I think that's a huge deal for Iowa, that he's playing with a lot of confidence. He's always been a confident kid, and he's always been kind of interesting to talk about because he's not boastful, but he's just got kind of a quiet leadership confidence to him. And I think that's coming through right now, that he's much more relaxed. In fact, one of the things he was talking about was his pregame music selection today. He used to play like Metallica and stuff like that, you know, to kind of get pumped up or whatever. And now he said he's using more mellow music because he doesn't want to like get too hyped up and, you know, maybe try too hard. So I think he's done a lot of, I know, kind of just mental work to kind of be a little looser. And I think that's showing up just in the way he's playing football. And you can see it in his throws, in his deep throws. He's got more touch on those throws and just seems more comfortable.
Well, Tom, I think Petras' development, not coincidentally, goes right along with Arlen Bruce and Keegan Johnson developing. Bruce with six catches last Friday night, and we've seen the deep ball to Keegan Johnson. We know Tyrone Tracy's still out there, and Charlie Jones and Sam LaPorta. But these two guys, I think he feels pretty comfortable with them.
Yeah, and they do kind of different things. Like Keegan is kind of his let's hit the deep ball guy, and Arlen Bruce is kind of, I think, going to be that. You know, he might end up being like the tunnel screen guy or the kind of quick short burst guy that he can get the ball to, you know, and do things with it. And those guys are both, you know, they might be the two most explosive receivers that Iowa has right now on the roster. And it says something when you've got, you know, a Tyrone Tracy on the roster, and, you know, we see what Charlie Jones can do. But it's nice that they've kind of integrated both those guys into the offense the last 2 weeks. And now it really, I think, gives them, you know, at least six kind of legitimate, maybe seven, if you throw Goodson in there. You know, that's another option, like seven good receiving options. And that's a real positive for Iowa.
It was only a matter of time. I mean, knowing his pedigree, watching him both play down in the Kansas City area and then in Ankeny last year, that Bruce was going to get on the field. And I thought it was they didn't push him out there week one, week two, whatever the case may be, let them develop a little bit. And now Iowa's receiver core is that much stronger with Keegan Johnson and with Arlen Bruce. And haven't even got to others yet, but I think that's going to open things up for LaPorta. It's going to open things up for Lachey. It's going to open things up for Tracy. You know, nothing but positive so right now.
Yeah, this offense is, I think it's coming along. I know people get frustrated with it, and I know there's going to be times when it doesn't look perfect, and that's just the nature of football. But I think it's coming along. And I'll give a shout to Brian Ferentz, too, because I think that was probably one of his top three offensive coordinator performances, just the play calling. I think the USC game might be his best one. And then maybe Ohio State, the 55-24 game, and then this one. I just thought he was really good and on point, and you know, spinning the wheel the right way in that game.
You know, going into the Maryland game, Tom, I think I joined many others as having a concern with the offensive line. It played its best game of the year. I don't think there's any question about that. But I look at it. Why was that? Was it Kyler Schott's return Was it, using the same guys in multiple possessions to get more chemistry? What did you think?
You mentioned it right away. I think it was getting the Kyler Schott, the North Lynn kid, in there and getting him more reps. And that's a veteran guy. You know, before this year, he had eight or nine starts and under his belt. So he's got some experience that he could bring to the table. And there's no substitute for that. And I think Linderbaum's more comfortable with him next to him. Nothing against Cody Entz. I just think there's just the level of comfort between those two guys. And it's still going to shuttle guys in and out a little bit. But I think from here on out, it's Shooter's going to be in there a lot. I thought Justin Britt had his best game. And I think Mason Richmond at left tackle is just improving each and every game.
And I think Connor Colby's going to be the super sub.
Yeah, Colby's good. Boy, he's really good.
Yeah, he's done a great job. Tom Caker, HawkeyeReport.com, joining us here on the gym class on KGYM. The defensive secondary, amazing from top to bottom throughout that game. And obviously it takes more than just good secondary play. You got to have a little bit of pressure. You got to be in the right spots, et cetera, et cetera. But I've said it before, and I think I say it again after Friday night, and that includes a pick by our friend Quinn Schulte from Cedar Rapids Xavier here. But I think top to bottom, this is the best secondary Iowa and Kirk Ferentz has had.
Yeah, it might be. They might not have, a bunch of pros, but, it's not like they have the high-end guys like the Dez King or Amani Cooper or even the Josh Jackson type of season guys. But they just play well as a unit, really do. And I think the other thing that they're doing is they're disguising their coverages really, really well. And that is just befuddling some of these opposing teams. And you saw that with Tungavaiola over the weekend. You've seen it now that Iowa, it's remarkable. In four of the five games, Iowa's basically taken the quarterback out. They've just sent him to the bench because they've picked him off so many times. And I don't know if there's anybody else in the country that's done that. Iowa's leading the country in tied for the lead in the country in turnovers created and number one in turnover margin in the country. And you're going to win a lot of football games. There's no secret. I mean, if you win the turnover battle, you're probably going to win football games, and that's what they're doing right now.
Well, there is going to be another team on the field Saturday afternoon, Tom. As you know, Penn State comes in with the same record as Iowa, number four in the country, solid quarterback in Sean Clifford. Dynamic wide receiver and Jahan Dotson. Not so much of a running game, but I guess I'll let you set up your thoughts on Penn State.
Yeah, it's really interesting because they lost their first five games last year, and the last game they lost was to Iowa. And it's kind of crazy to think about that right now, that the last loss for them was to the Hawkeyes, but that's what it was. And Clifford, I think, has kind of matured as a quarterback. I think getting Noah Kane back helps him. He was dinged up last year, and so they've got a good running back. Dotson's really good. I think their defense is coming along. Their secondary's really, really talented. So I think this is obviously a really good team that they're going to be facing. It's interesting, though, they went up to Wisconsin and won to open the season. And, I think kind of maybe like Iowa's win at home against Indiana, maybe that Wisconsin win doesn't look quite as good now just because of the way Wisconsin has looked since then. But still, it's a win on the road. But they haven't gone on the road since then. And so I think that's going to be an interesting aspect of this. It's how is this Penn State team going to perform on the road? And Clifford can be hit and miss. I mean, he's boom or bust. He can make some really electric big plays, but he can also as we saw last year when they played Iowa, he can throw it to the other team too.
We have seen, of course, great rivalries, Iowa-Wisconsin, and you know everything as far as the West is concerned. But this is certainly Iowa's best. I hate to say underrated rivalry. You don't think of Iowa-Penn State jumping out to the forefront, but man alive, have there been just great game, memorable game after memorable game between Iowa and Penn State. And hopefully, no matter what happens Saturday, this one is going to live up to those.
Yeah, there's some good ones and some bad ones, but the good ones, you think about 04, the 6-4 game where Iowa wins, giving up two safeties, and that was the week that Kirk Ferentz lost his dad, and everybody remembers the emotion that poured out of Kirk on the sidelines. And we remember, the 08 game, the Daniel Murray kick to win that game, and just what a amazing feeling that was at Kinnick that night. 09 with Adrian Claiborne, blocking the punt and returning it for a touchdown. I remember a couple years ago where Trace McSorley throws a touchdown pass as time expires and beats Iowa. We remember Saquon Barkley. I had to look this up the other day. Saquon Barkley had 350 yards of total offense against Iowa at Kinnick Stadium. I mean, that's one of the most incredible performances I've ever seen from a player at Kinnick. I mean, the rival. This is a really fun series. And last year, they had the Davion Nixon interception. And the Euro step to the end zone.
And also everyone was giving Barkley the Heisman after that. And then that didn't even include the Tim Dwight punt returns game.
Yeah.
Going back before Kirk, obviously.
It doesn't include Bob Cummings going to Penn State in 76 and winning 7-6 too.
Or the, the 83 game that Kirk brought up today where they went up to – that was up at Penn State and it was like 40-35 or something. And, that was a classic between Hayden Fry and Joe Paterno.
Yeah.
A lot of good ones. Early Tuesday inkling by you of what kind of game we're going to see on Saturday.
I think it's going to be a defensive game. I just kind of do. I don't think we're going to see a lot of fireworks. I think first 1-20 wins. I'm going to pick Iowa to win. I think they're probably going to win 21-17. I think it's probably your final score. And I just think this Iowa team's got that it quality. It feels a lot like 2015, guys. It really does. It just, there's some different feel to it, different players and everything, but this the kind of the chemistry of this team just feels pretty special.
Last from me, Tom, another important thing to look at in this Saturday afternoon is I think I read upwards of 80 recruits that Iowa's bringing in. That's a ton.
Yeah, it's I was told last Friday night by someone close to the Iowa program that they were expecting at least 80, maybe more. It would be the biggest number of recruits that they've ever had on campus for a game. The top priority ones are the two 5-stars from Southeast Polk, Xavier Wampa, who, by the way, I just put on we have a little future forecast thing and, sticking my neck out a little bit, guys, and saying that he's going to be a Hawkeye. So we'll see if I'm right. I'm not always right, but I threw that out there today. I feel like I was really trending for him. Caden Proctor is going to be there. Kevin Casper has told me his 4-star son, wide receiver Kyler Casper, is going to be in town. So it's going to be the star level, the 4-star-plus guys, is also most ever at an Iowa football game.
Yeah, looking forward to watching those guys Friday night against Prairie too. That's going to be fun. Southeast Polk coming over. Before we let you go, get your no-dos ready for Hawkeye basketball.
Yeah, media day's Monday.
Yeah, well, I was talking about all the 8 o'clock starts.
Oh, yeah. I haven't even looked at that yet. I'm just busy with the Tuesday stuff, but the press conference stuff. So I haven't even dove into that, but I'm just sort of used to it. TV is TV.
Yeah. 11 of them, I believe, Mike Halas counted. So
a lot of late nights at Carver.
True. Hey, Tom, appreciate it. Keep up the great work at Hawkeye Report, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks for having me on, guys. Take care.
Tom Kakert, HawkeyeReport.com, publisher joining us here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Yes, 11, Mark, I believe. 8 o'clock starts for Iowa men's basketball coming up. So non-conference and some conference games.
Yeah, and there's still, 6 to 10 games that are still to be announced. So that number could rise.
Yeah. Big Ten Network, doubleheaders. When you're a West team, you're going to get those 8 o'clockers. All right, we'll take a break, come back, and have more for you after this. KGYM.
From the racetrack to the bat crack, it's as easy to play your game with Elite Sportsbook. Elite Sportsbook makes betting as easy as a swipe with an easy-to-navigate, safe, and secure app platform. It's easier and faster to play your game. Get all the perks of live in-game betting, early cash out, and unique parlays at your fingertips. Sign up today and get your first bet risk-free up to $500 with Iowa's only locally owned sportsbook app. Play your game with Elite Sportsbook. Must be 21. Gambling a problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No, you actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Fall leaf vacuum collection continues through December 10th. Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
I should have been a cowboy.
Toby Keith and his Country Comes to Town tour. Thursday, October 14th at the Extreme Arena, powered by Mediacom.
How do you let me
Toby Keith. Tickets are on sale now at the venue box office and extremearena.com.
Whiskey for my man.
Toby Keith and his Country Comes to Town tour with special guests Matt Stell and Ian Munsick. Thursday, October 14th at the Extreme Arena, powered by Mediacom. Produced by Pepper Entertainment.
And your next chance to win tickets to see Toby Keith coming up with Todd and Alex next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. American League champ wild card tonight. Boston hosting the Yankees. Official pick, you're going the Yankees, Mark?
Yes, I am.
I agree with you. I'm going with the Yankees as well. But it wouldn't shock me if Boston wins. Can I say that? Can I say that? I did.
Strange things happen in the wild card. We all know that. Looking forward to tonight's game, and we'll see what happens. Who's going to face Tampa Bay?
No Bucky Dent there tonight, at least in the lineup. Who knows if Bucky will be there? But, yeah, we'll see how it all plays out. 6:30 tonight, all of our frequencies across the board. American League wild card game right here on KGYM. Looking forward to that. That'll be a lot of fun coming up this evening. And tomorrow, Cal Eldred joins us. We'll talk about the Major League Baseball playoffs. We'll talk about Cal's year with the Kansas City Royals, et cetera, et cetera. And I wanted to ask him about Salvador Perez a lot, too. I know he's not a hitting guy. Cal could hit, though, in the day. And just watching what Sal Perez did this year had to be a lot of fun.
Well, he's connected to him because Salvador Perez catches all his pitchers. So, I'm interested in his response to Perez's year, which was truly phenomenal.
It was just truly phenomenal, and I hope he gets some nods as far as MVP. I know he's not going to win numbers that could have won in some years, but probably not going to win this year with the Kansas City Royals. But we'll talk with Cal, and your fantasy football questions are ready to go tomorrow for Chris Liss. He'll be on as well with us. We'll talk Penn State football on Thursday. We'll talk Iowa Penn State throughout the week. The big game, the top five battle coming up Saturday at Kinnick Stadium. Before the Boom comes up at 1 o'clock, straight up 1 o'clock on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. That will be coming up on Saturday. Great to be back, Mark, and we will talk with you tomorrow.
Sounds good. Look forward to it. Talk to you then.
All right. You've been listening to The Gym Class right here on KGYM. Have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Since being the first to make wiper blades over a century ago, Trico has protected drivers in any weather. We're always looking ahead, studying your specific driving conditions so you'll be ready for anything. Like, if it actually rains cats and dogs.